It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. A Delta County man is recovering after contracting tularemia. Although it's the first reported case of the disease on the Western Slope this year, health officials are concerned. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Last year in Colorado, 16 people were diagnosed with tularemia. Jennifer House is a state public health veterinarian.
In the past year, we've actually had an upsurge in the number of human cases. In a typical year, we only get 1 to 2 cases.
So far this year, 10 people have contracted the disease. Health officials say the most recent case involves a Delta County man who likely got exposed to it while excavating dirt on his property. The state is also seeing reports of dogs and cats getting the disease. People and animals can catch it in the same way. Tularemia is caused by bacteria found in the environment. It's contracted through cuts, insect bites, handling infected rodents, eating or drinking contaminated food or water, or by inhaling it. The illness can cause high fevers, swollen lymph nodes, skin ulcers, upset stomach, and respiratory problems. However, it can be treated with antibiotics. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Public health officials say that people can prevent the disease by wearing gloves when gardening or working with soil, using a mask, and wearing closed-toed shoes when moving or doing yard work, avoiding contact with wild animals or rodents, wearing insect repellent, and not allowing your pets to eat or hunt wild animals. This past weekend was deadly on Colorado's rivers. A Grand Junction man who was kayaking near Basalt died after falling into the Frying Pan River. Last Sunday, the man and a group of friends were kayaking when they became separated. A group of civilians pulled him out of the stream, but attempts at resuscitation were unsuccessful. Another person died while tubing near Pueblo over the weekend. Two other went missing while rafting near Denver and Dinosaur. The lawsuit against the city of Grand Junction over its panhandling ordinance will continue to move forward. The American Civil Liberties Union sued, arguing that the ordinance infringes on the First Amendment. This is City Attorney John Shaver.
As we proceed through the defense of the claims, one of the things that we did is we filed a motion to dismiss. And a motion to dismiss is a test of the legal sufficiency of the complaint. As a result of our motion to dismiss, certain of the claims were dismissed and others weren't.
The main complaint by the ACLU will stand, but the complaint from one of the plaintiffs, Eric Niederkruger, was dismissed.
Presently, the case is waiting for a possible determination by the United States Supreme Court. Our judge and our plaintiffs and the city had agreed that pending a decision by the Supreme Court on that case that we would stay any further action. We do have the motion for summary judgment that has already been filed, but there's no other action pending.
The next planned date is a scheduling meeting in September. A program to provide long-acting reversible birth control to young, low-income women in Colorado is being extended for another year. This comes despite state lawmakers failing to pass a bill to fund the effort. As Benta Berkland reports, health officials have been scrambling to find a way to continue this successful initiative.
For the past 5 years, a private and anonymous grant has allowed about 40 health clinics across the state to provide intrauterine devices or IUDs and other long-acting birth control to women ranging from ages 15 to 25. Liz Romer runs one of these clinics in Aurora.
Hi, this is Cindy over in the Village Pavilion Family Planning Clinic. How's it going?
Laboratory.
Romer is a nurse practitioner and directs the family planning program for Children's Hospital Colorado.
We're astounded by what we were able to accomplish in terms of the number of women that we were able to see, as well as the number of patients who chose long-acting reversible contraception.
Romer says nearly 3/4 of the women they counsel use the long-acting contraceptives, which according to state figures have helped cut teen pregnancy rates in the state by 40%. Abortions have gone down too.
What the grant allowed us to do was to buy the devices. These aren't cheap, but when you weigh the cost of a device against the cost of a pregnancy, they pale in comparison.
Certified nurse midwife Anita Sheets is with Mesa County Health Department Family Clinic. She says these clinics are especially important in more rural areas.
There's no resources available for teens or their parents to access here in Mesa County. There's no identifiable teen-friendly clinics that can assure confidentiality and access to these methods. And we're trying to implement some major changes at the health department to make it a teen-friendly clinic.
Without the private grant, some clinics, such as Children's Hospital, say their funding will be cut in half. That's something Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment Executive Director Larry Wolk wants to avoid.
We actually put out an appeal saying, look at the results and can you help make up for what we were trying to get from the state general fund and from the legislature. Funders have stepped up and said, we'd like to help you on an emergency or contingency or even bridge basis.
Wolk says he wants to come back to the legislature next year and try to get $5 million to fund the program and even expand it to more clinics that serve lower-income young women.
It's good public investment. It's not fair that we have to keep going to the private or the foundation community to fund something that's saving the state money.
And while Democrats backed the funding measure, Republican lawmakers, including Representative Polly Lawrence of Roxborough Park, didn't want the state paying for it.
I like the idea that right now it's educational and giving options to women. I'm fine with it existing under private funding.
Lawrence voted against the bill during the legislative session earlier this year and says she'd do it again.
Because we didn't fully fund it by the state, private money is coming in. That tells me there is a desire in the private sector to fund this. And I don't see why the state needs to step in.
For other Republicans, the problem was the program itself, because they believe providing contraception encourages promiscuity. Larry Wolk points to yet another concern.
One of the criticisms from the conservative side was that, the Affordable Care Act is supposed to pay for these devices, so why should we pay twice? And what we found is a lot of insurance companies aren't complying with the Affordable Care Act.
But not every GOP lawmaker was against it. Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose sponsored the funding bill. He's a strong backer, but says he doesn't think he can convince enough of his colleagues to support it next year.
I wouldn't expect a lot of change. With that said, this program is very, very, very positive in my district. And a lot of people come up to me, real solid, solid Republicans, and say thank you for running the bill.
For people working within the program, like Liz Romer at Children's Hospital, it doesn't matter where the funding comes from as long as it will continue over the years to help more women avoid an unintended pregnancy.
There has been so much progress made. It doesn't make sense for Colorado to go back to the funding levels that we had before.
For the next year, it appears the money is not in jeopardy. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.